Me setting boundaries is not me rejecting you. It's protecting me. You cannot expect someone to be something that they don't have the capacity to be for you. And I don't care who this is going to disappoint in your life tomorrow. Talk to you nice. Fill in the blank. My dear, you're worrying about the wrong things. Because I wish above all else that you prosper as your soul prospers.
Let's hop into the show.
And the truth is, at one point, I genuinely did want to stop. But because of the conditioned behavior, my body physically craved that. It craved it. So around the time I actually overcame it, it was a fight. Breaking cycles is a fight. Now, sometimes I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may, you know, fall upon you and all of a sudden the taste is out your mouth. Glory to God. But the truth is, when you are breaking cycles, when you are breaking curses, it's a fight, but it's a different fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The truth is that as in pornography and masturbation, that's a spirit associated with the spirit of perversion and lust. And so if we don't fight against flesh and blood, but rather principalities and spirits and evil and darknesses of all these unseen worlds and so on and so forth, that means we're going to have to lean on God to eradicate those spirits. And even his word says that this spirit will not come out less through fasting and praying. And I can honestly say, I wasn't trying to pray that thing out. I wasn't trying to fast that thing out. And I didn't even want to tell nobody because I was so ashamed. I didn't want to tell nobody because even around 20, 21, 22, in the church, I was still seen as, that's the precious Kirsten. That's my baby. That's my little sister. That's my little cousin. That's the innocent one, right? Sometimes I feel like people looked at me as if I could just do no wrong. And I was the epitome of purity. And I was like, yo, hang that up. But I couldn't say that because I had built my identity on what people thought of me. So I kept it a secret. I didn't tell nobody. And I would say the turning point was around 22. I'm not going to lie to y'all and say that I remember how the turning point went. But I will say that it's probably in my book. It's probably in my book because, shameless plug, I wrote a book at the age of 22. About all the ways that I had put God back on the throne of my heart and my life after making so many other things my God, right? It's called The Source, putting God back on the throne. And my addiction to pornography and masturbation was the very first chapter. So the testimony is in there. So if you want to, you are more than welcome to purchase the book. It is available on Amazon and the link is in my profile bio on my personal page. Have at it. But once I had that encounter, that experience, revelation, I did exceptionally well with abstaining and resisting for a whole year. And within that year, I wrote the book. And I was so proud of myself because I was like, girl, you did it. Yes, we're over this now. And sometime between 22 and 24, yeah, sometime between 23 and 24, actually, maybe it was the pandemic. Maybe it was the fact I was under an extreme amount of stress from buying a house. Maybe it was because I felt very unaccomplished at my age. And that was all the enemy needed. That was all he needed, was that one opportunity to say, you know, you may not have your dream job, but at least you got this. You may not have the house just yet, and you may not even get it, but you got this. You may not have like your own place to stay right now, but you can always indulge in this. He was always in my ear looking for that one opportunity to say, but you can always go back to this, as if it was faithful, as if it was kind, as if it was true, as if it could truly hold me at night, as if it could truly comfort me in the time of hurt and pain and misunderstanding and controversy and conflict, as if it was God. Masturbation and pornography never did nothing for me, but prolonged my suffering. It tormented me for years and convinced me that it was pleasure. But it wasn't until I let God into that situation that he kept reminding me what real love was and what real salvation and real comfort was. So, needless to say, I had went a long time without it. And after a year's time, fell back in. And it wasn't as heavy as it was in my college days. And I almost, no, actually I did. I started to acquiesce my life, to accommodate for it. I said, maybe it's not going to go nowhere. Maybe it's not going to break. Maybe this is something that I'm just going to struggle with for the rest of my life. And so I started to make concessions for it. If I do it, you know, once a month, at least it's better than what I used to do, which was once every other day or once a week. I made so many concessions for it, as if it was faithful to me. Made so many excuses for it, as if it was my friend, as if it had good intentions for me, as if it wanted genuinely the best for me. That's crazy, you know, that's crazy. And I wasn't supposed to cry, but that thing is tearing me up. Yo, it never did nothing for me. And it tried to convince me that it was the best thing that I could have had. I gotta finish. So yes, I still slipped up after writing this book, and I fell deeper into shame because, girl, you done put this thing on paper. Ain't nobody gonna believe you now. But once I moved to Atlanta, maybe 2 years into Atlanta, because I'm not going to lie to y'all, as if like it had not regressed within those 3 years. Yes, every month or every quarter, I started to desire it less and less. And for me, it took relatively 3 years for me to be completely done. I think one of the groundbreaking revelations that I got from the Holy Spirit was when he told me that I want to reserve that space of you intimately for your husband. And he knows my heart. He knows that I do genuinely desire equally yoked companionship. And I've desired it for a long time. But even in those previous years, knowing what I was struggling with, I often told myself that I wasn't worthy of one. Because I was so dirty. I was so messed up. There was so much work I still needed to do. And I felt like all hope was lost for me. And he met me in a moment, said ever so sweetly, "I want that space to be reserved for your husband." And in that moment, I agreed with God. And that's all overcoming sin is, choosing to agree with God more than you agree with it. It's all about picking a side. The minute you choose to agree with God, that's all he needs. That's all he needed from me. And I gave in completely to what God wanted to do. So come hell or high water, I said, I'm not going back. And I'm not going to lie to y'all. As if that thing did not come against me so heavy and so strong. And I'm not going to lie to y'all, as if I still don't get tempted. It just is a lot easier these days, the farther I get away from the cycle. The Holy Spirit has gripped me and protected me this entire time. I'll even say, whenever I have a moment, you know, where I'm experiencing, where I'm feeling, you know, very hot and bothered, the Holy Ghost knocked me out. I go to sleep. It's almost as if I fainted. I passed out. Child, next thing you know, I wake up and I'm like, what day is it? You know, like, he protects me. He keeps me from falling. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne in exceeding joy. He keeps me from falling, and he has kept me from falling all this year. And I am grateful. And now, that is my story, right? I wanted to be able to relate enough to say that it wasn't easy and it didn't happen overnight. However, I invited the Holy Spirit into my situation and I agreed with God. And with every day that I agreed with God, it slowly subsided. And just like that, I overcame. And I'm still overcoming. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I want to revisit the whole process of writing the book. Like I said, there were quite a few other chapters in the book that resonated with quite a few people around the time that I released it. But there were so many conversations that I had with my peers, with coworkers, with church family and friends, that were taught and conditioned to see pornography and masturbation as something beneficial. I'll never forget somebody told me, I mean, yeah, I do it. It helps me take the edge off. I mean, yeah, I do it because it's better than, you know, going out here and wilding out on any and everybody I see. Yeah, I do it because, I don't know, it passes the time by. It was so many excuses. And it wasn't even me living vicariously through their experience. I didn't really care, but I wanted to respect their opinion enough to hear them out. And I think that's a whole nother aspect of sexuality and understanding people, not just even sexuality, humanity. I think it's more of a humanity thing. I don't have to agree with you in order to understand you. It is not my responsibility nor my obligation to judge you. The Bible says, as it be unto you, live at peace with everybody. That's what God's word says. Live at peace with everybody. Do not think yourself as better than anyone. As a matter of fact, esteem those more important than you, just so you can stay humble. I don't have to agree with your lifestyle, but I understand it. I understand why you feel the way that you feel. I understand how you have shaped your life to be this through your eyes. I see what you're saying. Do I agree? No. But it's not my responsibility nor my obligation to judge you. I have no heaven nor hell to put you in. And even though I may not agree with what it is that you do, it doesn't have to stop me from understanding and living at peace with you. So that is something that I've been learning for sure. I have so many friends from so many different walks of life. And even though, because of my faith, I may not agree with the life that they are living, it doesn't mean I have to intentionally misunderstand them. It doesn't mean I shouldn't live in peace with them. But I found so many of my peers making excuses or creating narratives that aid in why they continue to entertain the spirit of perversion, masturbation, and pornography. And I feel like there are a lot of questions that come about, right? I had a lot of questions, especially since being exposed to it, nobody was shedding light on it. Nobody was giving language to it. It was a very, very secret, dark sin. And I had so many questions specifically about, like, you know, masturbation. I was like, masturbation isn't in the Bible nowhere. Like, do you see it? Nobody's talking about it in the church. We just know that it's wrong. But why? Like, why is it wrong? We just know that watching pornography is wrong. Why is it wrong? The Bible doesn't specifically say anything about pornography nor masturbation, right? So that was a question I had around 21, 22, trying to figure out, why is it actually wrong? And where is it in God's word? Now, of course, the Bible does speak on abstaining from sexually immoral behaviors and occultish practices. And that can get a little dicey in its own right. But yeah, based on your perception, I'm not here to argue it. But that's what the Bible says about abstaining from sexual immoral behaviors, occultist practices, all of the like. Now, when it comes to masturbation, it was tricky for me. But one of the main things that the Lord revealed to me when I asked and I wanted to have an actual answer, you know, not just trying to justify the sin, but I wanted an actual answer. He said, I will not have any other gods before me. And what I was doing constantly was idolizing my self pleasure, idolizing my body, idolizing, yeah, my sexual experiences, idolizing myself. I was being very selfish with what God had given me. Because the Bible says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. which is your reasonable service. I was presenting my body to me. I was presenting my body as a living sacrifice unto the altar of Kirsten. And I made it do whatever I wanted it to do just for the sake of fantasy and pleasure. And the Bible also says that your eyes are like lamps. Whatever you consume, it illuminates your entire house. So, of course, if you consume darkness, your house will be dark. And if, thank you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate you for that. And if the light that you think is actually light is darkness, oh, how deep that darkness is. And for many of us, because we have been justifying for our addictions, our habits for all of these years, because we just truly don't think that we're able to overcome it or it is benefiting us in some way, shape, or form, that is our light that's actually darkness. I just got that revelation. Like, if the things that you're watching and you're saying that it's light, but it's really darkness, how deep that darkness really is. So that means how deep in this pit you really are, that you don't see how dark it is, that you don't see how perverted it is, that you don't see how it is changing you, and not for the good, not for the better. Yeah. So Holy Spirit told me that you're idolizing yourself, and I will have no other gods before me, not even you. And so this was a pretty hard conversation, y'all. But my question to you is, who do you choose? Who do you choose? The word of God says, choose ye this day who you will serve. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But I'm here to offer a warning, my friend. You can't straddle the fence no more. I'm here to share an encouraging word and yet a loving rebuke. I've been where you are, and I know how you feel. At least I can imagine. And I truly believe the Father is telling us all, who will you choose? And my prayers are with you, friend. My heart goes with you. I don't know what has been attached to why you do it. I don't know who is attached to why you do it. But I feel you, man. I feel you. And there is no easy way out of this. But God is asking you today, who will you choose? And I'll let you choose. But as for me and my house, we choose the Lord. And we choose light. Listen, I love y'all. Holy Spirit, you got anything else? I really hope all this made sense. Actually, yeah, I want to pray for y'all. Lord, I thank you for every individual that has tuned in to this episode. And for those who have been experiencing a lot of trepidation in the heart, well, the palpitations of the heart where there's like literally this fear that has come upon you, even listening to this message. God is not angry with you. However, he wants you to be free. And his word says that we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. I thank you, Jesus, that you want your sons and your daughters, your brothers and your sisters to be free today. And I pray for every individual who is actively choosing God in this moment, with the raising of our hands and the lifting of our hearts, we renounce the spirit of perversion. We come out of agreement with lust, pornography, masturbation, sexual immoral behaviors, occultish practices. We come out of agreement with these spirits. We remove their legal grounding. And we agree with heaven. We agree with God. We agree with your spirit, Jesus. And we ask you to take root. We ask you to fill the spaces where these spirits once occupied. Wash us, make us white as snow. For your word says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? None but clean hands and pure hearts. Make us white as snow. Create in us a clean heart. Create in us a clean hands and renew in us a righteous spirit. Create in us a clean heart. Thank you, Lord. And renew in us a righteous spirit. Do it for us, O Lord. And as simple as that, I pray that the freedom of the Lord be upon every individual who has taken this moment, who has sensed the urgency. And I even come against the spirit of fear that has gripped their hearts and caused them to believe that there is no way out of this life. And the enemy has even tried to lie to you and say that if you remove yourself from this, you will die, or you are too far gone and you're going to die anyway. I come against that lie in the name of Jesus. You will not die, but you shall live to declare the works of the Lord. So says the word of the Lord. He comes that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You will not die. And so we rebuke the lie of the enemy even now in the name of Jesus. And we accept your truth. And we expect your spirit of truth to reign even now. I even pray for a refreshing of your word to be upon your children, where they have been seeking answers, where they have been seeking a new level of understanding and revelation in your word. I pray even now, Father, that their hunger increases for that and gives them more and more context for what is on your heart for them and for those around them. I thank you, hallelujah, for the better version of them, even now from this moment forward. And I come against even every lie and every person, every spirit of shame that'll try to place those memories back upon them, that'll even try to enter into the insecure parts of their heart to infiltrate once more. I come against you now and I close that door. May the fire of God begin to burn away all residue even now, Father. For your word says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I remove the spirit of shame. And I praise you for setting every captive free today. In Jesus' name, amen. Yo, my heart is celebrating with y'all. All of heaven is rejoicing with you. And I am so excited to hear how God literally changes everything for you now that you are free. Isaiah. If y'all want to follow me, you can follow me at kirsten.s.lewis. And if you want to follow the Holy Ghost because you know you need him, you can follow him at the cross. I love y'all. Like this video or this audio because you love me back. And last but not least, love yourself as much as you love everybody else. I'll see y'all next time. Peace.